distraction, right? Well, it's not so bad of a distraction when it's not there, but I also couldn't use it to prepare for this Sunday, so I decided yesterday to come up to the church. Here's my confession. If you're at men's breakfast yesterday, just plug your ears for a minute. When I came up to the church yesterday, I was wanting to come into a quiet place and prepare my sermon. But there were lots of cars in the parking lot, but I thought, well, it's probably the women. They've probably just parked and gone to the Theta Island Women's Retreat. Anyway, I opened the door. It wasn't locked, and I was like, oh, no, there's somebody here. I open, and there's the men for men's breakfast. I love you guys. So I had a struggle with this distraction. I had a struggle with this distraction because I had an agenda, right? And I think it was a reasonably good agenda because Sunday was coming. And I went into the office, the secretary of Candace's office there, and I sat for a minute, and I'm like, oh, what do I do with this thing, right? So then I just said, well, God, or he said to me, or I said to him, or something. I got this conviction that I was here, and they were here, so maybe I'm supposed to be here at men's breakfast. And not only was the breakfast good, I hadn't eaten, my wife's on Thetis Island, Glenn and Jim, but the men's fellowship and their sharing and their stories were incredible. Incredible. I was so blessed. And there were stories of loss and longing, deep hurt, but shrouded in hope. And I just realized that there isn't really anyone who doesn't have some kind of loss, some deeper than others, that they're carrying, that they're going through, that they're struggling with. And well, maybe there was a reason my computer was broken again. Because today I want to talk about identity in Christ. And I'd like to talk about our identity in Christ with the goal of understanding it better. Okay. Now, I've been a Christian for 35 years. Well, you think I would know something about this by now, but I'll tell you what. I don't know. Sometimes it's simple, but really, if you read God's word, he just continues to show different things to us in his mystery and his majesty that convict us. And I think maybe I get more out of preparing for a sermon, but hopefully you get something out of it too. But I think I get more out of it. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, as we look at scripture today and we try to understand what our identity in Christ is, and how in our new identity we still have this way of slipping back into the way we used to be. It's not our identity because we have a new identity, but sometimes we slide back to our old ways and we forget about trusting you completely. Yes, we know you and you don't leave us. But we can be distracted, and we can be more concerned about our agendas than yours. And it takes courage to stand alone, as Linda said, but she's not, or I pray you'd help her to know she's not alone. None of us are. But she's asking for you to give her the strength and the courage she needs. We all need that. When we open your word, help us to have the strength and courage we need to hear from you. And I pray that you would bless this time today, this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. So, scripture says that in Christ we're new creations, old things pass away. The new creation, we're wrapped in Christ's righteousness. It's not like it was before. And old things pass away, meaning we have now have the Spirit to reveal the sin, and once it's revealed, we have the power in God's Spirit to be overcomers, so all things can become new, meaning God's truth can now guide our ways if we learn to and then follow his ways. And that's the hard part. We see it, and we see it, and we hear it, and some of these words are talking about how we were before we knew Christ, but there's a warning here that says we can slip back into those old ways. Everybody's in a different place. If you are not yet a Christian, and I don't know the situation, then listen to these words and be honest with yourself and know that it's good to go to God and be honest with him. And if you're in a place anywhere from A to Z in your Christian walk, it's really the same. God's word will speak to you if you go to him and be honest. Scripture says in Christ we're new creations. Old things pass away and all things become new. When we look at Ephesians 4:18, it explains our life without Christ. I just want to read it one more time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says this. Any of us who were in this place before we knew Christ, are darkened in understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Okay. Before we knew Christ, we were actually blind to the knowledge of God's ways. Our view on right and wrong was guided by our own experience. Once we met Christ, our eyes were opened to the knowledge of God's ways. Our view on right and wrong can now be guided by God's ways and his truth, because he will now take away the blinders so that we can understand. The Holy Spirit living in us will teach us. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Colossians 3:7 says you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. So before I became a Christian, I didn't really know what God was trying to teach me. I was putting things together from what I experienced. So I'll give you an example. I used to think, because I was raised in a school that had this poster on the board, I used to think that we came from apes. As I had seen the ape, the caveman, the man, you know, that picture. But I'd also gone to Sunday school, so I used to think also that God had created Adam and Eve, and somehow some people came from there, and then some people came from monkeys. And then I also thought, it sounds funny, but this is what I thought, some people could have been a frog and become a prince, if they were lucky. And that's what I used to think. And it's kind of strange to think that I used to think that, but that's really ignorant, isn't it, of God's ways. It's not ignorant for a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old or whatever to think that way, because that's what I was experiencing. That's what I was getting. But I didn't know. And then Christ opened my eyes, and I began to see that, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not right. Began to read his word, and I go, well, it doesn't line up with what God's saying. Okay? That's a simple little story to say that God's word tells us and shows us what our thinking, whether it's right or whether it's off. And I still have off thinking. I still can slide back into my old ways. It says in Ephesians 17 and 18, talks about our identity without Christ in a deeper way. It says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, those who are not in Christ, Gentiles, in the futility of their thinking. So how did we live before we met Christ? We lived in futility of our thinking. We had, it says, darkened understanding. We were separated from the life of God because of our ignorance. Due to the hardening of our hearts, we'd lost sensitivity. We were given to sensuality. We indulged in every kind of impurity. We were full of greed. Because there was only our experience and our teaching from our parents and the confines of our space that we lived in that really kept us in any kind of a framework. And then within that, we looked for we looked for how to make sense of it. I became a Christian when I was 14. I think a lot of people who don't become Christians so soon, they start to ask deeper questions. They start to understand something's not right, but what is it? What is it that's right? Because the word futile means pointless. We had a pointless way of looking at things before Christ. Darkened understanding at least is going to lead to confusion and uncertainty, ignorance, hardening of heart. And then it says, we actually had no restraint in regards to sensuality. And that means, I think, no actual restraint that couldn't be pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. How can I say this? The restraint that we had was based on maybe who found out or what we could get away with. And that as you get older and you move into your teenage years and you so on and so forth, those you can get away with a lot. Because we have no real restraint put on us from any guiding, well, certainly not from God, we can get pretty messed up and we can get pretty distant from God. And while this speaks of our life before Christ, it's also speaking to us after Christ. Because Paul says, he's warning us here as he leads us to go, you used to be like that, but don't be like that anymore. Okay, now remembering we now have a new identity in Christ and we're being warned not to live in the ways we used to, I want to just say this. It's not like we pretend. When we start to change, we have our new identity in Christ. It's not like we're pretending. It's not like we're acting out, oh, we have this new identity. We have changed. Okay? To pretend is, as a drama teacher, I know this, is to act like someone or something you're not. We're not called to mimic the actions of another. We're not even called to mimic the actions of God. We've been changed, and we can now understand the ways of Jesus. You see, we are following and follow in our new identity. We're learning to walk in his ways, step by step, even as Christians, step by step. And he will lead us in his ways. And as a result, we will become more and more like him from the inside out as character, as our character changes and grows. To me, that's a mystery. Because the mystery is not just imitating God, because we are to be imitators of God, but it's more of a deep changing within. He changes us from the inside out. His warning is that also, too, that we can fall back and we can slide back as Christians. And all that stuff, as Christians now, I'm talking to Christians, to us, all that stuff, no matter how good it seems or looks or feels, it's empty. It's empty. So what happens when nobody's not watching me and I'm thinking, or somebody says something to me and nobody can hear me or hear my thoughts because it's internal? You know, we can't pretend that these things aren't real. We can't just pretend that the thoughts that we have against other people or towards other people aren't real, because they are. Because then we're just pretending. God wants us to draw close enough to him on a regular basis to change. Ephesians, I'm going to go back to, I know it was a lot of reading, but I'm going to go back to Ephesians 1, chapter 13 and 14. It says this. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. And I wanted to come to that verse just to say that we can slide away. We have a new identity. We can slide away into an old identity, and we can act in that identity, but it isn't us. And even though we do that, we do not lose our place in Christ. We're not separated from God after we accept Jesus Christ because we mess up. Because if that was the case, well, yeah. So in Christ, we have a new identity. Our new identity is in Christ. It's secure. We can't lose it, but we can slip away into what we used to do or think. But the old is gone and the new has come. To come to Christ, I must first acknowledge sin, the sin in me, whether I'm coming to Christ after I've come to him the first time or not. I still need to go to him and acknowledge the sin that's in me. I need to know my new identity is in Christ and need to walk faithfully in it. But listen, I want you to listen to this very carefully, because this is more important than I once thought it was. You and I must recognize our old identity without Christ, with all its propensity towards sin, is never far away. I'm just thinking of this. I was going to tell the joke, but it didn't seem like it would go over very well, so I'm just going to tell a story. So this is a story about a couple who went into witness protection program. So they got a new identity. They got a new house. They got a new place to live. They got a new job. They got everything new. They were far away from where they were, and no one knew them. And but the thing was, they always kind of wanted to go back to their old identity. They could never really embrace their new identity. So one of the things that the husband did is he always had his keys in his pocket. And if he took his car anywhere, he always left his keys in his ignition, because he thought, if I have to get away from this, I can go just something. I can go back to my old identity. Okay? Hold on to that thought. I'm going to come back to it. Because our journey after Christ is a journey, it's a walk in sanctification. And sanctification means we're not there yet, but we still have the journey to travel, but God is in it, and he wants us to become more and more and more like him until finally we're with him, and then all this struggles of new and old identity will be gone. So sometimes we're like the guy with the keys in his ignition, or the keys in his pocket. And those keys are always tempting us, reminding us, tempting us, and saying, we still have access to our old identity. And if we're honest, you don't have to be honest with yourself to say, what are those things that you need to just, you know, get rid of, bury in the backyard? It's probably not something physical. It's probably something else that's taking you and pulling you away from that place. I hope that makes sense. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. My challenge in preparing this message was, how come, if we have a new identity in Christ, we still walk way too often in our old identity? Scripture clearly warns us about our identity, our old identity, and it tells us we have a new identity, and it clearly lays out our new identity as well, so we can see it all, and it's there. So why, since we have a new identity in Christ, do we so often revert back to the old one? And I don't think I'm speaking just for myself, am I? Just me? Okay, good. And we have to walk in this, because if we don't, then we get stuck on a level that is not willing to recognize that in Christ we have to humble ourselves before his mighty hand so he can lift us up. It's not easy to look at these things in our own self, I mean. So since we have a new identity in Christ, why do we revert so often back to the old one? Then I said to myself, well, maybe we have two identities or three. But we don't. We have a new identity, one. So I thought to myself, this sliding back and forth is a conundrum. Until I went to work on Tuesday, and I walked into the school, Duncan Christian School, where I work, down the grade 5 hallway, and I could hardly walk down there. It was rancid. The smell was so bad. Tom, this never would have happened if you were there, because I know how he takes care of things. I couldn't even hardly walk down that hallway. It was so bad. I thought, something's in the locker. Something died in the hall. The school... I put my shirt over my face, and I went down and started opening all the lockers. Now, this is Tuesday after a long weekend. It was hot, and I went in there, and I opened and opened until finally I came to this locker, and I smelled it so bad. It was a pair of shoes. I took this pair of shoes, and I took it, threw it out, them outside. There were rollerblades and a helmet. Oh! I threw them outside, but it wasn't them. They had just been affected by something else. I could, the smell was still there, so I go back, I open the locker. In the bottom locker, the kids say it's a spare locker, so no one put it in there. Because that's our nature. We don't want to admit to it. Well, someone put it in there, because what it was there was two leftover food containers, Tupperware containers, and without a word of a lie, I almost gagged trying to get that out of there. I did it myself, put gloves on. The top of the container was covered in the most gross, slimy, syrupy stuff. It was going up the wall of the locker. And there was nothing syrupy originally in that container. I actually literally felt sick that day. I think I maybe breathed something in I shouldn't have. It was terrible! Okay. So why do I tell you this story? Because something buried deep inside in the darkness over time, left unchecked, will become corrupted. That's it. Like, whoa. Well, we left the door open. I triple bagged that thing. I threw it outside. I went on my break and I walked it over and I put it in the dumpster because I didn't want it in my garbage can or anywhere near anything. It was, over time, it became that. Something left unchecked. I'll say that again. Buried inside in the darkness over time will become corrupted. Part of me always thought that by working on my outward actions, you know, being kinder, more patient, watching my words, etc., was enough to change me into a better person. As a Christian, you know, that's part of me. I worked at that. I thought about that. But what I learned from the locker incident, that it doesn't matter how much I try to clean up the outside or change my actions and my attitude, it doesn't work. Because I'm pretending. I need to focus on what's inside. If the heart is dark, the whole body is dark. If the inside of the locker is not cleaned out, it can and will corrupt the whole being. That means we're moving away from where we should be. We're sliding away from our identity in Christ because there's something inside. When I was a younger man, I had a job and I really did not like my boss. And it got to the point where when he came into the room, I just started to feel this anger rise up inside of me. And it wasn't him, it was me. Because I was a know-it-all, you know, kind of, and felt like I should have things my way and such. I'm just a new Christian. So I don't remember how this happened, but I got the verse in James, and I changed it a bit, and I made this my internal prayer. God, help me to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I just said this prayer over and over, and when he arrived in the room, I said this prayer, and you know, one day, a few months later, I realized I wasn't angry anymore. Now, how does that work? It's got to be that God's Spirit is living in me, and it's got to be there's something transforming about His Word as I focus and meditate on it. God, help me to be quick to listen. And I would, God, help me. And nobody knew I was saying it, and I would just go over that. Sometimes, quite often, a lot. And then, I guess over time, until one day I went, I'm not even saying that anymore. I'm not even saying, God, help me to be. Now, I say it sometimes now when I need it. But it's something God's given me because I can lose my temper. So what I'm saying is Scripture, especially when meditated on, it has a cleaning effect. And it's a mystery, but it is part of our new identity, and it's a gift from God. Scripture cleans us from the inside out. Of course, connected with time with God and the guidance of His Spirit. We have a new identity, Christ within us, and it's time we stop reverting back to the old. It's hard not to revert back to the old, but I think the first step is realizing we do it and being honest before God about it. Romans 5 to 8, Paul describes our new identity as the flesh, when he writes, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh. what the flesh desires, all that other stuff, whatever it is. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So it's a setting of our minds on either something that's going to take us away. We can think about something, we can put it in our mind, and we can get off. And if we don't stop ourselves, that can go in a really bad direction, whether it's gossip or anger or thoughts that we shouldn't have about anything. That there's a point where we need to recognize it's separating us. It's sliding us back. So the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's good. That's what we want. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. We as Christians, I remember the time I went to a friend of mine and I said, you can't do that. He said, well, yes, I can. I said, no, you can't. This is years ago. He said, well, it's got to say in the Bible somewhere that I can do that. I'm going, you know, it doesn't. And he searched and he searched and he searched. He's looking for trying to justify his behavior. Well, it destroyed his life, but he wouldn't listen to me. I can't make anybody else do it, but I can ask God to help change me from the inside out. Because if your mind is governed by the flesh, it's hostile to God's ways. We don't want to hear from God. And our minds don't want to submit to the laws of God, nor can we do so. Because those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, this is verse 9 of Romans, chapter 8. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is in you and I. We're not ignorant, we're not darkened, we're not separated, we're not without Christ. We now have the Spirit living in us. If indeed the Spirit lives in you. So if you're a Christian. When we let things of our old fleshly identity go unchecked inside of us, they become a stench to God. In fact, when sin is hidden deep inside of us, we will slip away from God until we deal with the sin. And some of us may be in that place today, hiding something deep inside, and only you know what it is. Bring it to God, confess it, let Him do the cleansing. Because it's not where we should be. And God is actually waiting. He's waiting. You see, the old is not our identity. It is sin-ridden and it separates us from God. Not in terms of our salvation, otherwise we would have no hope, but in terms of closeness to Him. When we seek after the light, allowing God's Spirit to open it up, to illuminate it within us, His Word, we're cleansed, transformed from our very core, from the inside out. In verse 14, in Ephesians, our reading, just before 17, it says, then you will no longer be tossed back and forth from new identity to old identity. You won't be blown here and there by every wind of teaching based on corrupt feelings or emotions or desires or new identity or whatever's being pitched to you, but rather you will grow up in Christ. You did not come to know Christ that way, verse 20. Verse 22, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires. As Christians, we have deceitful desires in us. This should not surprise us, so let's not get caught off guard. We are forgiven sinners, but we're still sinners. So, as Christians, we better recognize the battle against our old identity, which is steeped in sin, is never far away. Otherwise, why would Paul write these words to us? He's saying, this is happening and it's real, and believers are not exempt. Okay. So, do y'all feel like I just beat you up? Good, because I want to talk about the attributes of our new identity in Christ. Here are some from Scripture. We are new creations, as I said. You are made righteous in Christ. You're adopted into God's family. You're forgiven. You're given hope. You have a new name that's written in the book of life from now and to eternity. God's Holy Spirit is living in you to teach you and guide you and comfort you no matter what you're going through. We have the power of Christ to battle against, resist, overcome, and find a way out from every temptation of evil. You have at your disposal the armor of God himself. You have a friend in Jesus who is closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit is ready to help you in all of your weakness. You have God working in all things for your good if you love him. And you have Christ seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you. And you have the promise, as James said yesterday, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. Nothing. We are in our new identity. It's all there in God's word, and it's speaking directly to us. It's as if God is saying, listen, please listen. I have given you a new identity. I've given you my son. I've given you my spirit. I've given you everything. Please, please listen. I love you. I've redeemed you. I have not left you alone as orphans. I've given you my Holy Spirit to illuminate my word, which I have also given you. You have everything you need. You are a child of God. Eternal life with me has begun. Sit at the feet of my holy word. Learn from the life of my son Jesus. Listen to the voice of my Holy Spirit. I have given you a new identity, he says. Please, please, please stop walking in the old one. Let's pray. God, I thank you that in the searching in life, when we truly seek after you, you make yourself known to us. And it's like seeking the parable or the scripture, seeking silver and gold, seeking after it. It's we want to find it so badly. It's like selling everything we have just for that pearl, buying that field, because we know that without you, we are lost in confusion, and things that we seem to us are going to make things good, they don't. The only thing that lasts is you. And we are, because of you, considered righteous, and we are, because of you, going to spend eternity with you. In this life, we need your help. Lord, help us to understand it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And in that, bring us to where we need to be. Encourage those who need encouragement, Lord. Help us to know that we're not alone. Not to beat ourselves up or think we're so bad. We're just people. We're sinners who you love. And thank you, God, that you are waiting. You're waiting. Amen. We're going to close this with one song. It's, what song is it?
Your Love, O Lord.
Your Love, O Lord. It's a good one, hey?
Reaches to the heaven.